The Wild One, The Life and Times of Johnny O'Keefe, written by Damien Johnston and read by Peter Hosking. DJ John Balkan says Johnny was so focused and absolutely convinced he was going to be the king of rock and roll that he'd step on people, annoy them or even abuse them without thinking. Then he'd stop and think, oh shit, I didn't want to do that. Balkan adds that Johnny was big enough to apologise and send a bunch of flowers or a box of chocolates or a bottle of champagne. He'd always make good again. While not a rocker, Balkan enjoyed his association with Johnny. He travelled to shows with Johnny, got on well with him, and used to pull his leg a bit. O'Keefe was musically tone deaf. He couldn't hold a note. So somewhere between walking off stage and getting in the car and heading home, there was this standard thing where I'd say to him, O'Keefe, you're too short, you're cross-eyed, you can't sing, but you killed them. By now, Australians were huge buyers of records. The Australian record trade was said to have become £1 million a month industry during 1956. One critic wrote in early 1957 that the big money lay in teenagers, and the trade knew it. The order has gone out to record managers. Take care of the kid who is likely to have 10 shillings in his pocket. Put your pop stands near the cash register. Like the old gramophone, rock and roll is likely to take a long time dying out, if ever. Johnny was relentless in his endeavours to win a recording contract. But despite such sales figures and Bill Haley's intervention, Festival, like other record companies, didn't want to know about up-and-coming Australian talent, especially a raw and primitive rock and roll outfit. Sun Herald columnist Valda Marshall became a surprise participant in events that led to the securing of a contract. I was working at my desk one day when suddenly this brash, bouncy little character came in and lobbed in front of me and said, "Hi, I'm Johnny O'Keefe." From that time on, John more or less became part of her life.